Sharon Friant, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Sharon.
Hey. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. So tonight, someone really special to me is sharing her story, described in these two paragraphs. And I heard a speaker once say so eloquently that he believes that always the right person with the right information at the right moment in time always shows up in our life. And there's always something that each speaker says that resonates with at least one person in the room, if not many. And I know that she will be one of those tonight. And Sonia is a member in great standing of Alcoholics Anonymous. She is sponsored. She has several sponsees. She continues to do service. She continues to work the steps and attend meetings very regularly and stay current with her sponsor, and has a heart of gold. She walks the talk always. In the mornings, in the big book, it talks about when we leave our homes and go out into the world or go up for the day, that we should leave and go out with that attitude of patience, tolerance, love, and kindness for all that we come in contact with. And she is the definition of that. She has a beautiful soul and spirit. She's always nothing but kind and loving to others. Just really unflappable. I've tried to piss her off a few times. It has not been, I've not been successful. I'm thinking you can't be that glad of heart all the time. But she is. And I know you're in for a treat tonight. She's just delightful, really. She's just a wonderful lady. And I know that you'll feel the same in an hour, that at the end of this hour, that you love her as much as everyone who knows her. So with that, I give you Sonia.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Sharon. My name is Sonia, and I am a grateful alcoholic. I'm also a very nervous alcoholic because I love to talk to people, but, you know, I don't like to get up and talk up here. But, I'm going to get out of myself and not make it about my ego, and I'm just going to do and deliver the message. And hopefully there's somebody in this room that can hear something. Maybe I can help say a few words, and you can hear me. Because I know I've heard many things in the rooms through all you guys and those of you before me that have led this path and guided me and so many others. I'm just going to start in the beginning. My sobriety date is August the 14th, 2010. I had to ask Lisa on the way down here, do I have five or six? Where am I? In the beginning, I was like counting. And now it's just like it flies by. But I'm supposed to tell you a little bit about my journey. So I began in the, I was born in England. I was born in Nottingham, England. I had both my parents are deceased. My dad, Frank, great man, died at an early age at 60 from alcoholism. My mom passed away 6 years ago. So I grew up in England, and for those of you that have been to Europe or been around anywhere, there, you know there's a lot of drinking. It was very, very common in my house to drink. Didn't matter if you're a kid, adult, grandparent, neighbor, everybody drank. That was what was normal. I did just want to say, a little quick prayer to God, and I forgot, if you don't mind, just real quick. I just want to say, God, please relieve me of this anxiety and this fear and this nervousness, and let me not make it about me, and let me do your will. Let me hear you through my heart, and let me speak you through my lips, and thank you. Amen. Amen. So I have a great home group. It's the Buford Presbyterian Church. We meet on Tuesdays and Fridays at 8 o'clock, so come on out sometime. Really nice. It's located on Buford Highway, just a little bit up the road from here. So it all started in England, and I'll tell you, my first drink that I had was called a shandy. Anybody here know what that is? Are you from England? Huh? All right, awesome. Anyway, so for those of you that don't know, it's ginger ale and beer mixed together. And I will never forget the day. I was with my father and my mom. We were at this little pub in England, and I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. And my dad gave me this shandy, and I drank it. And I loved it. I was already silly anyway and laughing, but it made it even worse. And I just remembered when I drank that, how it felt when it went through me. I felt like, wow, this is some power juice. You know, a lot of people call it the liquid courage. Later on in life, it became liquid courage. But made me feel good. At home, we would, you know, have dinner, we would have wine. The holiday pictures that we have are, you know, you'll see my family sitting around and drinking, or the videos, and you'll see me with a little glass of red wine or white wine. My niece was just in town this weekend, and, you know, alcoholism is definitely a family disease, because her dad, my brother, has about 23 years sober. And we joke about it. You know, I showed her some family videos that I just recently found, and, you know, she just thinks, wow, that's crazy. Like, I can't believe you would play, like, spin the bottle, and it's the vodka bottle, and instead of kissing somebody or taking your clothes off, you're, like, drinking a shot of alcohol. But that was at my birthday party as a child. That really did happen. You know, when I say, you know, it's really odd because I don't really remember a lot of my childhood. I remember happy things. I remember I loved school, and I loved the friendship at school and the camaraderie. But I don't really remember my home life, to be honest. I remember little bits and pieces of it. And as I've gotten older, I've become more curious about that kind of thing. And I've had a conversation, like, with my brother, and he's like, well, his recollection of our childhood, he's 10 years older, by the way, is completely different than mine. He said, well, I can't believe you don't remember the arguing and the fighting. You don't remember that time Mom got mad and she pulled out a knife? I mean, I really don't remember that. And I can't say anything because, as far as I know, it didn't happen. But my sister, Anna, and in fact, she's with us tonight. I have a little starfish. But she passed away July the 25th. It'll be 3 years. And she was 60 also. And she died from alcoholism. She didn't want to know anything about AA. My brother tried to help her and take her. She did go to a meeting, but of course she didn't think she needed this, and she didn't have a problem, and we were all crazy. Sadly, when we read about in the big book about the isolation, the black hole, the dark spot, I honestly cannot relate to that. Maybe at the very end, I kind of isolated with my drinking because I didn't want my husband to catch me. And I would hide bottles in the closet. I would hide them outside in the yard, in the bushes. Any of y'all did that? Okay. Do you find them still? Like, do you go out there and they're, like, behind your lily plants? So, it's kind of, you know, But, you know, I mean, I've seen this disease in the family, and my sister passed away. It was very sad, but, you know, that's why anytime I ask to speak, I do bring the starfish, because I want to believe that, you know, maybe she could have got this at later on. But as we all know, there's jails, institutions, and death. So for all of you that are new, that are just coming in and you hear that, when I first heard that, I thought, that doesn't happen. That's just like Lifetime Movie Network. They're just being dramatic. No, that really does happen. I've met people in the program that have died since I've been here. And I'll be damned if I'm going to be one of them. I'm willing to go to any length. And some days, trust me, I don't want to go to a meeting. You know, I really don't. But I know that my life depends on it. It's like my medicine. You know, it's my daily reprieve. And I continue on. I know that alcohol, you know, gave me courage. It made me not be afraid. I remember when I moved to America, you know, I had a British accent and I knew no one. I had nobody. I had my, you know, just lost my dad, who I was very close to, and I had my mom, my sister, my brother, so I come over here and, you know, I'm different because I'm the girl from England with the British accent. So what do you do when you're different? You change, right? You try to fit in with everybody. So I would practice how to speak Southern every day after school. I said, I'm going to sound like y'all. And I remember my girlfriend, we're still close today, she would say, well, Sonia, it's not tomato, it's tomato. It's not banana, it's banana. You know, so we would practice these things every day, just, you know, trying to fit in and become one as everybody else. But, you know, what happened is growing through my adulthood, I drank what I thought was normal. You know, I went to high school. I always was the one that looked the oldest, so I would go buy the drinks for my girlfriends. And back then, you know, this is like back in the 80s, they didn't check you like they do now. We would just run into a gas station and I'd buy Boone's Farm, gross, or English 800. Have y'all heard of that? You know that one? So we would drive around and drink it, and then, you know, I never had consequences because my house was the cool house. You know, you could come to my house and drink. My 16th birthday, my sister said, well, Sonia, what do you want? Do you want sangria or do you want a German chocolate cake? And because for me, nothing's in moderation, I said, I want both. Why would I pick one? So I have pictures, you know, we've got these striped shirts on. Stripes must have been in back then. And we had our sangria and we had our chocolate, German chocolate cake. So, you know, going through school, everything was good. And, you know, I drank good and my girlfriends drank and everything seemed perfect, you know. Went to college. Nothing. I did get a DUI in 1982, and that was kind of crazy, but I was going to pick up a boyfriend at the airport, and I just decided to stop off and have a drink, right? A drink turned into three or four. It was happy hour back then in Atlanta. They did, you know, buy two, get one free. And then, of course, what else would you do but drive to the Atlanta airport? Because that's what's the normal thing to do, right? And so I remember getting in the car and driving, and then I don't remember. All I remember is waking up at Grady Hospital, and I was strapped or handcuffed to, I don't know if I'm saying the word correctly, gurney, for those of you that are in the medical field. And there was, you know, I'm out in the hallway and I'm like begging them to let me, you know, I have to go because, you know, my boyfriend's at the airport. Yeah, right. Anyway, so that was the first DUI. And, of course, the boyfriend never got picked up and I went to jail and y'all know the rest of the story. I don't have to go there. So I didn't think that that was bad. I just thought I had bad luck. In fact, at that time, if those of you that live here a long time in Atlanta, they were doing construction on 85 and the wall kind of was curvy. So it wasn't my car, it was that the wall curved and I just happened to tap it because I thought I just tapped it. Anyway, so continue on. I worked in the restaurant business. I was a bartender. I was a cocktail waitress. Anything in the restaurant, cook, chef, you name it, dishwasher, done it all, loved it. that lifestyle was very convenient for me. And as those of you know that are in the restaurant field, you work long hours, then you don't go home, you go to the bar, you spend half of your tips or more, and then you do it all over again. 6 days a week, doubles. Why would you not? Because the money's so good. And of course, you know, that played in really good. After that, I met a really great guy. I was going to go to college in North Carolina. I did for about a year, but that was just not my thing. And I tried it, but I was every day in class thinking how much longer and bored. So for those of you that have gone to college, and I'm proud of y'all. Kudos. But I would sit there and look outside the window and go, this math is just A squared plus B squared is who cares square. Maybe that's why I'm more creative and I have a profession now that's very creative. God set me on the right path, but grateful for that. So I meet an amazing guy, and I'm so grateful that I did, and fall in love, blah blah blah, you know the rest. We'll be together 30 years next year, and this man has stood by me through everything. Now let me remind you that we drank together. He's not one of us, and he's not a big drinker, but we drank together and never had a problem. You know, I mean, I just would come home, cook dinner, have half a bottle of wine, just half, leave the rest, make dinner, go to bed. As the years continue, the alcoholism progresses, and half a bottle is no longer getting it. I want 3/4 of the bottle. And then I'm like, you know, the hell with the wine. Let's just go to the vodka, because I'm a real alcoholic. Wine is just too slow for me. I want to feel that burn. By the end of my drinking, I love the way that warm vodka, disgusting now, that's how I think of it, out of a bottle would burn down my throat. I didn't even need the orange juice. I didn't need the Fresca. Hell with that. Let's just get to the nitty-gritty. And it got to the point where I was, it puzzled me, because before I could stop. You know, I could have 2 glasses of wine and I'd be fine, you know. I'd be like, okay, we're done, next night. But then it got to the point where I just, I could not wait to get home and have a vodka. So you know what I did? I didn't wait. I only live 5 miles from my business. And we serve wine where I work. I'm a hairstylist, and so we give our clients wine. That's one of our things. Don't worry. If y'all come in there, I'll remember your face. You won't be allowed to have one. I said, aren't you the one from Napa? No. but that's what we did. So at the end, I would just pour me a big old, and I'm talking like huge, like triple, you know, the quick trip size, and I would fill it up, and I would get in the car, and I'd be like, whew, that ease and comfort. I can't wait. And it wasn't that anybody had done anything. It's not like I had anything to be upset with. It's just I was so addicted to that feeling. I was so addicted to the way the alcohol made me feel. I mean, I would drink on a sunny day. I would drink if I was mad. It didn't matter to me. We didn't need to have a reason. You know, but I loved the way that buzz felt. To me, there was nothing better towards the end of my drinking than that buzz. So you know how I shared that alcoholism is a family disease? So one night, I'll share this with you. We have this thing where my husband and I got in a little disagreement, and I think I sort of like, now I look back that I've been, you know, had a little time sober, not a lot. I think I kind of manipulated it that way because I wanted him to go to bed. Why? So I could drink. So I deliberately, you know, kind of got him upset. He goes to bed, and I was like, thank God, now I can drink like I want to. And I think I have Woodbridge Chardonnay, a whole bottle, the big one, and I think I had, you know, maybe one or two of those big fat quick trip vodkas. And now I'm talking about when I don't know about y'all, but when I make my vodka, it is this much vodka this much orange juice and just a, oh, and I like fresh squeezed orange juice too. I don't like the other stuff. And a splash of Fresca. And I would drink it with a straw and I'd be like, oh, that feels good. And then, like at midnight, now let me tell you, I have on my bright pink fuchsia Moo Cow flannel Victoria's Secret pajamas. And I think it's a great idea to go to Taco Bell. Now, anybody here work for Taco Bell? Because I hate Taco Bell. Okay, when I'm sober, I don't like Taco Bell. Disgusting. But for some reason that night, I thought a taco would be really good right now. So I get my butt in the car barefoot, no bra, just my pajamas. Excuse me, gentlemen. And I drive to Taco Bell, which is like a mile and a half from my house, and I go through the drive-thru, and I'm ordering everything. I must have ordered 4 entrees, because I'm starving. Remember, there's no moderation. I want it all. And I'm coming back, and I'm crossing the railroad track right near my house, and I see blue lights. And I'm like, oh, my God, somebody is getting pulled over. Poor things. I had no idea that someone was me. And my heart started pounding because I knew I was in big trouble. Okay, how am I going to lie myself out of here? How am I going to get myself out of this? So I pull over and the officer comes over and he's like, ma'am, I need you to get out of the car. And I'm like, nope, I'm not getting out of the car. Because I had a client that told me if I ever got pulled over in my area where I live, do not admit to drinking. Just don't, that popped into my head that night. He said, just don't admit it. So I didn't. I said, have you been drinking? No. What would make you think that? And he's like, well, we need you to blow in this machine. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And then, you know, 3 more cop cars pull up. I'm like, really? I am such a criminal. Are there any police in here, by the way? And, of course, all I could think about was my husband's face the whole time. I am like, I am in deep trouble. Deep, deep. Because he didn't even know I was out. He'd gone to bed. As far as he knew, I was just, you know, fixing to go to bed. So I don't get out. I'm not ugly, but I just told him I can't do that. And they said, well, you do realize that we're going to take you to jail. And I said, well, okay, but I have clients tomorrow, so I need to be out by 8:30. You know, and he's like, and of course they kept trying and trying, and I went off. They take me to jail, handcuffed. So as I'm in the car, I'm thinking, well, I've had one of these before. Are they going to make me blow? Are they going to make me do blood? Which I've never done that, but I heard that was the new thing now they do. So I start spitting the tacos because I'm thinking if I get what is inside of me out, that when they finally do my test, I won't have as much alcohol in me, right? Crazy. So I'm sitting in the back seat with the handcuffs on and I'm going, and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, okay, typical alcoholic answer. What do you think I said? There's something in my tooth. I've got to get it out and my hands are behind my back. Complete lie, okay? So anyway, off we go, blah, blah, blah. And that's the story on that. But, you know, the reason why I share that is I laugh about it today, but it is not damn funny because I have know people, and maybe some of you here tonight, that have killed people. And I should have been that person. I should have been the person that been in jail for killing somebody because I drove all the time drunk. Always. My day off at Walmart and I'm shopping for cat food. Guess who's got a drink in their buggy? Sonishka. You know it. So, you know, the thing that I share about that is, yeah, we can laugh about it, you know, but it's really, I want you to really think about the seriousness of it. It's not funny. And, you know, my family, me, my brother, and my mother have all been to jail in pajamas. So I say a little joke about it because, you know, I remember, like, when I first got sober, it was on a Sunday, and my husband was like, Sonia, you're just going to tell your story. I said, but you don't understand. I'm, like, really nervous, and, you know, I want, you know, what am I going to say, and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, I got one for you. Why don't you tell me about the time I got you out of jail, your brother, and your mom, and y'all had on your pajamas, and I thought. So when I tell you, my husband has been there with me through thick and thin, he has. And he actually just shared that with my niece this weekend. She was like, Grandma went to jail in her long gown. So that's what happens to me when I drink. Of course, still, when that happened, I didn't think I had a problem. I thought, it's just bad luck. Once again, I just missed a weed too far over the lane or, you know, whatever. And, you know, I didn't want to be an alcoholic. I really didn't. I thought that was the end of the world for me because I could not imagine my life without alcohol. How would we ever have fun again? Oh, my God. I remember Shauna was my prior sponsor, and I remember saying to Shauna, you don't understand. I'm going to a wedding in September. How am I going to go and not have a glass of wine? Now I understand what she meant. She says, well, Sonia, let's not worry about that now. You know. Because then I learned in this program through you guys that we stay in the moment. We don't worry about tomorrow. We don't worry about, you know, what happened before. We stay right here, right now, in this moment. And that really has helped me tremendously. Even outside of the rooms in my work with people, with relationships, with my husband, you know, I remember people saying, well, you got to do this fear inventory. And I'm like, well, I'm not afraid of nothing. I mean, I'm afraid of butterflies. And I really am. But, I mean, I'm not, what do you mean fear? Like, you know, like heights? Now I know what fear is, people. If somebody's mad at me, a.k.a. my husband, a friend, a person, I still, to this day, have a hard time with that. That is fear. I'm very, very uncomfortable with that. But because I have a great group of people, great network of women and guys, sponsors, I've got, you know, I can call these people and I can share my fear and I can, you know, have them go over it with me and help me with it. And then, you know, I'm okay. But it's something that I have to work on every day. So there's so many, as far as, you know, I want to say, AA, when I came in here, I was going to tell you that I didn't come to AA because I wanted to come to AA. How many of y'all came here because you just couldn't wait to get here? Looking for the hands, people. And I remember I came here because of fear. I was afraid. I didn't want to lose my best friend and my husband. So I came to please him. I was not court-ordered here, but I remember walking into that room, and the first time I came was at the Gwinnett room. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't get a big book because, A, I don't read. B, I mean, I do, but not like reread. If y'all get that. No, but y'all, you know, like, okay, whatever. But I remember I didn't get a sponsor because, you know, I don't need that. I can do it on my own, self-will, you know. I can fix myself and become sober, and I can just go to one meeting a week at the Gwinnett Room, Saturday night, speaker, my favorite, as long as you don't put me up there on the stand. And I could stay sober. And, you know, that worked for a while, and then I was actually, at the end, going to the Gwinnett Room, and I would drink. I would get two wines on the way over there, and I would drink them. Then I'd go in, get sober, get coffee, go home. My husband's like, how's that meeting? Great. It was amazing. You know, but still, I had not got honest, right? I did not want to admit to my innermost self that I'm Sonia and I'm an alcoholic. I wouldn't. So even when I got here, for 9 months, I did my work. I worked with my sponsor. I did all what I was supposed to do, and I still didn't believe I was an alcoholic. I was not going to admit that. And then I had a little bit longer time, and I will share this with you because I think it's important. And then my mom passed away, so it's about 6 years ago. And I go to Florida, and my brother, who's in the program, had no idea that I even had a problem, because the last time he saw me, I could drink two and stop. And my girlfriend that went with me, she was one of my drinking buddies, and she said, you know, can I take the vodka? And I'm like, girl, you can take a case of it. I am not touching that. And I, when I said that, for all you new people, if there's any new people in here, I meant it. 500% on a stack of Bibles, I was not going to drink. So you know how we say cunning, baffling, and powerful? That's not going to happen to me. Because I'm going to meetings, I'm whatever. And I remember it was the day after my mom passed, and I, you know, you wake up in the morning, you want some water, I go to the freezer, I open the freezer, and I see that vodka. And it's sitting there, ice cold Sky vodka. And I open the freezer, and I shut the freezer. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. And I said, that would be really good right now. I said, you know, my mom died. I deserve this. I mean, who else wouldn't have a vodka after their mom passed away, right? 8:30 in the morning, nobody's awake, they're all sleeping. Once again, I'm not honest, and I chose the drink over sobriety. To me, drinking was more important than my sobriety, okay? And I knew it was wrong. That's the difference. I knew I had a little bit of AA in me. I knew that that was so wrong to do it. I mean, I felt like something right here was just tugging at me. And I said, but I'm only going to have one, right? So I poured it. I look around. Is anybody looking? See, I'm already lying. I'm already trying to hide myself. I pour the vodka. I take a sip, and damn it, if I didn't get that burn going down. I told you how much I like that. It's the drug of, it's only alcohol for me. Thank God I never tried a pill or anything else, because I'm sure I would like it. And I just remembered at that moment, once that alcohol was inside of me, all races were on. I didn't care. Did I call anybody? No. I'd already made up my mind. I didn't need anybody. Because I was having one and I was going to be okay. And that one, now I'm looking around, where's the water bottle? Let me fill it up. So I found a water bottle. I empty the water. I fill up the vodka. And I, you know, because I got to have it for later, right? So now that whole craziness starts all over again. I'm trying to be somebody else. No, not me. I don't drink. I remember in this drunken relapse, I told my brother I had been in AA for 6 years. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, I didn't even know you were going to AA. What are you talking about? I said, oh, it's just great. I go to these meetings. You know, you go to them. And he, of course, he knows I'm wasted. So I'm now people are starting to wake up. Now I'm getting scared. Oh, my God, they're going to know. Okay, I'll just pretend like I'm asleep. So I go in the bed, and I put the covers over my head, and I pretend like I've been sleeping all night and taking a sip. My girlfriend's like, are you going to wake up? It's like 1 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I'm still sleeping. I mean, this whole charade, these lies, this horrible, I mean, you know, it's so important to put on this craziness. And so I'll never forget that day, because to me that was the worst day of my life. And I thought life was over, because, you know, I'm like, here we go again. Got to tell my husband I drank again. Got to tell all my friends that love me I relapsed. Got to let all these people down. And that drive from Lakeland, Florida to my home was horrific. Okay? My husband's face. That guilt, remorse, and shame we read about in the big book, that was me. But I promise you I won't do it again. I'm telling you, how many times are you going to say that? You've already gotten a DUI. You've already driven your car in the garage walls. There's holes out there. I'm like, really? I did that? So, but now looking back, and I tell people that if you have relapsed, Okay, I mean, I don't believe everybody has to have a relapse, but if you have, for me, that relapse is, I do believe, where I am today. Because every time I think about, which thank God I have not, I hope I don't, but like I said, it's a daily reprieve. I got to be here every day. I got to stay connected. I got to call my sponsor, Sharon. I got to check in with my women network here. I got great sponsees. I mean, they keep me, they help me so much. You know, I can get out of myself. I can pick up the phone and call Margaret, Shauna, any of these girls here, and any of y'all. Y'all would pick up the phone and be there for me. I know that. And it's like, what a gift. And that, you know, so today, I think that's been a while back, but I don't forget that. And the one piece of advice my brother gave me at that time that I thought was awful, I said, he said, Sonia, if you never want to drink again, you don't have to. He said, all you got to do is remember your worst scenario drinking, your worst consequence, and you keep it right here in your brain and you do not forget it. And that to me has really saved me, because there have been a couple of times when the thought of wine or vodka has crossed my mind, but what I do is I'm like, hold on, let me think about that ride home from Florida, let me think about all those people I hurt, let me see my husband's face when he picked me up from jail in my moo cow pajamas. I mean, he's not one to laugh about stuff like that. So, and today, you know, it's like, I'm so grateful that I am an alcoholic. And when I say I'm Sonia and I'm a grateful alcoholic, I really mean it. Because to me, it's not even now about the alcohol, thank God. I mean, when somebody says to me, or I see a commercial, and I hope I always stay this way, and I see alcohol, I think of death. I think about my sister and how she never got a chance to be here. I think about people like Tracy's aunt that also lost her life. I mean, we're very fortunate because those people died. Think about Sharon. She's had family members pass away. Those people died, you know, they died, and here we are. So, you know, if you're a newcomer and you think you need help or you're not sure or you're struggling, you know, just remember it's 24 hours. You can get through anything for 24 hours. You pick up a phone, you call somebody, you call your sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, don't suggest it. Get a temporary sponsor. Get somebody that can temporarily be there that you can be accountable to. Because my thinking, you know, I get thinking sometimes, you know. And I need to be checked, and I need somebody to keep me, you know, accountable and that can know what I'm really going through. And when you're having a good day or a bad day, and even to me, any day in sobriety, a bad day is way, way, way better than a drunk day when I'm not in sobriety. And like I said, I've had DUIs, I've hit a car and left the scene because I've been drinking. I mean, these are the things I did. And today, you know what's great is, like this weekend, I'll show you this weekend, it makes me cry. It's so beautiful. My niece was here and her fiance, and she's only 24, and I see so much joy and love and life in her and her fiance. And I was never like that. I mean, I was always happy at 23, 24, don't get me wrong, but it was always about the alcohol. They didn't even care if they had, I said, you know, no beer, no wine. That's not what they're about. They're a young couple. They're totally present. Totally present. And to me, that is the gift that I got from you guys and from AA, is to be totally present. And I love today gardening. Like when in the beginning, when I first got sober, and a lot of y'all know that, I would not go in my yard, because why would you go out and work in your yard when you could not have a vodka? I mean, that's no fun. And today, I would, you know, I go out there and I hear the birds and I hear the sounds and I really hear it. Like, I'm not just hearing half of it because I've got a buzz and I'm leaving the flowers to rot because I don't want to plant them. I mean, I really hear it. And friendships are, it's okay to go through things in life and to ask for help and to talk to people. You know, I'm like, I can do it myself. I don't need help. You know, and even today, like, I'll ask my husband. Normally, I'm like, oh, I can do it. You know, I'll do it. I'm da-da-da-da-da. I can do it all because I want to be superwoman. And what you guys have taught me is I don't have to do everything myself. I can pick up the phone and go, hey, can I get your help? I would never have done that before. And then I'm overwhelmed myself. Oh, my God, I just da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da. And then I'm crazy woman because I'm trying to please everybody, do everything for everybody. Today, I have peace. I have serenity. I have true peace. Even on a day that is not peaceful, I do have a peace. So, like I said, I owe that to you guys. I owe that to my sponsor and network of people. And AA, I mean, thank God Bob and Bill came up with this amazing program that you can use all over the world. And I'm just going to kind of close. I'd like to read something that is one of my favorite things that I found about 2 years ago when I got sober. And to me, I just love this. If I can find it, give me a minute because I'm not Miss Techie on the phone. All right, I think this is it. So, okay, the old timer said, this is my favorite part of the big book. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Big Book, page 83, AA. Being a relationship with God is also freedom, happiness. Anytime I am not experiencing these, I am not in God's will for me. Because the Big Book tells me on page 133, we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. So make no mistake about it, any time that we are not happy, it's not God's will, but ours. Our fellowship is enough, my gratitude is enough, the beauty I have seen and the love I have received is enough. God is enough, the gift of peace and serenity with which I rest is enough. Only someone with less gratitude will want more. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia, for sharing your story with us tonight. And I believe Lisa is going to be giving out the chips.
Hey, I'm Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm giving out the chips that are right here. Thanks, Sonia, for asking me. Starting with a white chip, if you're coming in for the first time, coming back, if you got arrested in your Mew Cow pajamas, 30 days silver. Alright, red for 90. 6 months yellow. Yellow. 9 months green. And blue for years or multiples thereof. Come on up, girl!
I'm Amanda. I'm an alcoholic. This is 3. The way I did it, I came in 2009 and got sober in 2013. So I got white chip after white chip after white chip. And I did have a desire to quit drinking. I just couldn't. So what made me stop was, of course, God. I woke up, wasn't even my lowest bottom. And I think that even though I had a desire to stop drinking, I did not have a desire to change. And so when I had a desire to change, I started working the steps. However, I didn't relapse, but I didn't feel like I worked them rigorously honest. And so now I'm back working the steps. I had an emotional bottom. Then I'm working them rigorously honest. So I lean on God, the steps, and honesty. So that keeps me sober. And you can do it even though you relapse all the time. And I ran errands with a big bottle of wine, too. So I did it.
Hi, everybody. My name is Bill. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Bill.
Thank you for your story. I really appreciated it. My sobriety date is 5/21/76, 40
Woo!
Years.
Wow. Yeah.
I just did what was suggested I do, and I just had a great sponsor, and I had did the steps and got a home group, and I just stayed in the middle of the program. And it's good to be here, and I'm extremely grateful. Thanks.
I'm Frank Waters, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. And it's a blessing and my honor to give my oldest child here her 6-year chip. She's like most children, she's a pain in the butt. But if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. And she's belligerent, and she's headstrong, and she's a...
She's like me. Exactly. Exactly.
She's more like her mother sometimes. She talks a lot. But she's had her up and down this year, and she's discovering things. She's discovering things about herself and that the world isn't fair, but she can still make it through there and not go back out. She can push through it. She can make it. She can get to the other side of it without drinking. And although she cannot do most of these things like this without crying, so don't make fun of her. She's just going to cry for y'all for a little bit. I love you.
I'm Pat. I'm an alcoholic. The way I did it was a lot of fellowship. I did work the steps, and I'm redoing it with my new sponsor. It's having people in my fellowship that I can contact and call, and being involved. And here comes the tears. But for me, I think a lot of it is me staying involved and being accountable for things is... what's helped me stay sober instead of going out and, you know, wanting to kill myself. You know, at the time I wanted to kill myself, the reason I didn't was because I've got two cats, you know. I mean, alcoholic thinking, you know. But anyway, so thank you very much. Thank you so much for your story, and I love everybody here, and thank you.
the pieces, you make it seem so easy. Put me back together, I'm light as a feather again. You're a shepherd, I'm a stray. You're the star.